Welcome to another episode of the Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. Today, we have a very special guest, Terry Igioma. Terry, you are the founder of Trade and Travel, where your flagship Trade and Travel trading course now has over 1,000 students making $1,000 per day in your million-dollar movement, which is just incredible. We got to get into that. In 2018, you were named Entrepreneur of the Year by the National Black MBA Association, and you were Grand Champion of Teachable's 2019 Creator Challenge. You have one of the best personal stories of following your dream that I've ever heard, and I proudly admire you from afar, my friend. There's no one better to speak on this subject of achieving your dream. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. We became acquainted a couple of years ago, and I have watched your rise and your success, and I am just like, go do it, girl. Go do it. So you nothing but love on this side. Today, we're going to get into something I think a lot of people need to hear about, which is, you know, the things that hold us back from our dreams, the things that are put into us, the purpose that gives us that fuel to go to the next level. And so I really love a lot of the things you're doing professionally and on the business side, but Brianna is my witness. One of the things we talk about when you probably feel your ears burning when we talk about you is that you have such a beautiful spirit, beautiful soul. And so I want you to share some of that with our audience today. I'm really happy to get into that.
Ah, thank you so much. You know, like, it's amazing because I didn't ever imagine myself where I am today. In 2011, I actually had quit my job at Teach for America to go to seminary school. And while I was there, I wasn't quite sure like where the Lord was leading me, but I knew that he wanted, well, after about a year, I knew that I was going to be a young adult minister. Like, I would be teaching young adults. And then out of the blue, I got a call to come to Chicago and work with a volunteer organization. But this whole time I was just trading stocks on the side. So if you were to ever ask me, like, Terry, like, did you imagine yourself trading stocks? Did you imagine yourself as a multimillionaire? Did you imagine yourself in any of these realms? I would say, no, I imagined myself at somebody's church teaching the young adult ministry, not making a lot of money, but just serving. That's all I imagined. Yeah. But it's amazing that even in this role, I'm still serving. And that's what's been cool to see. Like, God works in so many cool ways when you're really willing to just serve.
No, I think that's key. I know that I was brought up in the culture where it was like the only way you could serve the Lord was to be in the church and be like poverty stricken, which is like, no, there's a whole marketplace where people need what we have to say. So that's actually one of the reasons I brought you on. So this first, what I want to call kind of like reaching your limit, like, not only inspiration is great, but like even what you said just now, I think it's some revelation inside of what you're saying to help people that are going to really, really resonate with them and take them off like kind of the fence of whatever's, you know, going on in there. I mean, like right now we're recording this, we're in the Metroplex and we've seen record snow and stuff like that. And there's all kinds of excuses people can use, whether it's career, relationship, mindset. Talk about some of those early, I guess, ideas or downloads that you had that made you leap from your comfort zone. What was pushing, Terry?
So there were a couple things going on. Like, to go back a little bit in my story, before I started trading and traveling, I was an assistant principal of an elementary school. That was the last job that I had. And I had come from this place where I had back-to-back jobs where I felt like I couldn't do anything right. My bosses were saying that everything I was doing was wrong. I just felt like I was unappreciated, undervalued. I wasn't making a lot of money for the work that I was putting in. I was trying so hard, but I felt unseen. So all these things were happening in the workplace, and I had had it in ministry. And then when I left ministry and went to the elementary school, it happened again. And so when I finally decided that I needed an exit strategy, I was at a breaking point. where I just felt like life is too short. I cannot keep doing this because my soul is going to die. Like something inside of me was breaking every day that I was going to work. And I remember the other assistant principal and I, there was a bathroom right in our like admin hall. And it was like this assistant principal, principal's office, and then my office. And every single day, one of us would take turns crying in the bathroom.
Wow.
And that was a moment where it was like, you know what? Life can't be like this. And then on top of that, one of my friends who was 31 at the time had just had like a young kid, a one-year-old, passed away. And so that on top of me feeling like this is horrible, and then I realized that life is too short, that was when I said, you know what, Lord? I remember like I was writing in my journal the night that my friend passed away, and I was like, if I could just do anything in the world, what would it be? And it was trade stocks and travel the world. Those were the things that I loved and found a passion for. Now, I will tell you, and you haven't even asked me about this, it was not easy to leave. Like that assistant principal job, even though I hated it, it was comfortable. And it was one of those things where I had insurance, I had a good salary, all of my bills were getting paid, I was living in a nice apartment, so everything was comfortable. And on top of that, because I had put this year of work in, I felt like, man, when I leave this, someone else is going to come in and have it easy because I've done all the hard work. And so that also was a little bit of like pulling me to stay there. Like, I can't leave now because, you know, they thought that I didn't do a good job. And now the next person's going to come in, get the rewards of all the work I put in.
Wow.
Unpack
that a little bit, because you're talking, you mentioned something that I think we need to park here for a minute, is the comfort zone, right? Because there's a mentality of, Seth Godin talks about this. He was a previous podcast guest. He talks about this lizard brain that we have. That's like, we really want to be just comfortable. And I know what you're talking about. My wife's an elementary school administrator, and some of the bureaucracy and all the stuff that just goes on inside the public school system, even though I know you were a charter, is just ridiculous. So talk about maybe like, because I know your students have told you maybe about their comfort zones and like maybe how your courses help them and stuff like that. So I know you can speak about comfort zones. What do you think keeps us there? What is it in the human nature that keeps us there?
I think even now there's this desire for stability. I think when we're going from place to place, like even now as I travel, I've been in Miami at the time that we're talking. I've been in Miami about 3 weeks, but I've lived in about 6 different places because I was in this hotel and then went to this house for a few days and then went to this resort and then went to this house for a few days. And after a while, it starts feeling like you're unstable. Like you don't want to live out of a suitcase anymore. You don't want to, you know, have to pick up and move every single time. There's just this natural desire to be stable. And I think for many of us, when we get to that place where we're stable and content, we feel like, well, this is all that God has for me because I'm okay.
Yeah.
There's that safety there. But many times where we're going and where we want to go, like if we want to get to that next financial level or we want to get to that next personal development level, we're going to have to stretch. I heard somebody talk about recently that the rubber band, it can hold more when it's stretched. But when it's around other rubber bands, you can't see how much it can hold because it's going to be in a circle with all the other rubber bands. It's not until it's stretched that you can actually see how much it can do and how big it can get. And I think that's uncomfortable. It hurts. It feels weird. It's going to be a little lonely. It's not going to feel safe. I think that's why we don't naturally run towards more.
No, you're right. I think in that, that's a perfect segue, because when we're talking about that area, that band of, okay, this is where I know I'm in my, let's call it zone of competence, but to get to that zone of excellence or zone of genius is going to be some really, really uncomfortable times. When you're thinking about leaping and the freedom that comes when even you don't even have to always attain it, like all the way, it's there's a freedom in just leaving that and starting to do new things. And I talk to aspiring financial professionals all the time. about having a good why when you leave. Talk about that a little bit, because I know you know about that, because you had an excellent why, it seems like. There was motivation, obviously, kind of pushing you from the previous career that you were in, but also kind of looking ahead towards that why that you said, like, I would just trade stocks and I would travel. Talk about developing that, though. How would somebody develop that why?
Now, I have to tell you the truth. I am not the best person to talk to about having a good why, because most of the things that I've done in my life have been leaps of faith where I did not know at all what was coming next. It was just like the Lord said, go. He has told me to go. And then I jump. Like there's no like, and on the other side of this, there will be treasures. No, it's just like, okay, jump. It happened to me when I had to leave seminary and go move back to Chicago. Like, I was content. I thought, okay, I had a real estate business. I was helping people relocate. I was, you know, going to finish seminary, go work at a church or something. But God said, no, I want you to move back to Chicago and work with this ministry. And I said no to the lady three times. And then I wrote a list and was like, okay, Lord, if she comes back and says that they will pay for my school, that they will let me come back to Dallas for 6 weeks in the summer and do my real estate company, that they will pay me this, at the time I was like, this audacious salary that I've never made before. And she says like this, this, and this, then I'll go. Do you know the third time that I said no, she said, Terry, what would make you say yes? And I told her that list and she said, okay. I said, well, now, God, okay, dang. So I didn't, like, my why was literally because God took all the barriers away.
Yeah.
And from there, when it was time for me to leave the school and go to travel, I had, again, I was so afraid. I did this same list to the Lord. And God had told me in October, mind you, beginning of the school year, go, you can trade and travel, go. But yeah, all of the rest of the school year, I fretted over it. So there were so many times where my mind could have been clear if I had just said yes to God earlier. But no, I fretted over it the whole time. I asked all my friends, I asked my family. And finally, I was like, okay, Lord, well, mind you, God said you can trade and travel. I went and signed a whole new year-long lease in this high rise to say I'm staying in Dallas. So I said, okay, Lord, well, I don't have the money to go travel. I'm leaving my job, or if I leave the job, I don't have a salary, so I don't have the money. Then I was like, well, then I have a lease. I can't break my lease. And then I said, and I don't have anybody to travel with. Do you know that I went on a trip? I went out of town with some friends, and while I was gone, my aunt came to visit my house, and I had a high-rise apartment on the 25th floor. She came to visit my house and she says, Terry, your house is flooding. And I thought she was pranking me. I was like, what? I'm on the 25th floor. You're joking. It's not flooding. And at this time, Houston had just had a hurricane. So I thought she was really playing games.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in Dallas, not Houston. Ha ha. You're funny, Amy. But no, she sent me pictures. My house on the 25th floor was flooding. Whole house underwater. There was a pipe on the 27th floor that had busted and all the water came down into my unit. Do you know they let me out of the lease? The insurance company gave me money. And so I could use that money to travel, because I had told God, I don't have the money to take the trip. Insurance company, oh, we're writing you this check for, I think it was at the time, it was a whole bunch of money to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, the people came, they took all my belongings. So I had nothing else because the place flooded. So you can't get attached to anything. And then a company that was traveling, they said, you know, we have one more seat on our, on our trip. And I said, oh, well, God dang. Okay, God, really?
Yeah.
This is you. And so for me, I can't tell you that I've always had a why. It's literally been, God said, go. And at this point, if you're disobedient at this point, then there's just
nothing else. Yeah. Right. But I mean, I'm going to flip it though. Okay. So you're not an authority on why, but you are an authority on, look, I have faith in something bigger than myself. And I'm going to follow on that because I know that what's on the other side of it is better than where I'm at right now, which is what I try to get so many people to see is this, like, if you're going to a job that's killing you literally every day, then you need to figure something else out, even if it's a change of lifestyle, even if it's whatever. And I think, you know, you hinted to a lot of these things, which is first people have this level of safety and comfort. And it's just, you know, I know this, it's familiar. You know, I'm not rocking the boat, but at the end of the day, if it is taking off years of your life, then this is something that you need to do. You know, candidly, I'll say this, about 6 weeks ago, I went to the doctor before my 45th birthday. And, you know, long story short, he was like, your cholesterol is not going down, Dominique. You need to get this down. Well, that was like September. And then I went back in January and he was like, hasn't moved enough, Lipitor. And I was like, whoa, hold on now. I plan to be like living for a long time, not for to be on Lipitor for 4 decades. So that motivation, my why on the other side was, I want to be around. Like, I want to live a healthy life. So what do I need to do? And I think what I'm saying in that particular story is all of us have what we need to do. In your particular instance, God was showing you, even with your list, your Gideon-like list.
Right.
He was still showing you.
He's like, okay, I'm still God. I'm big enough to hit all of these things. And now what? Go.
Yes, yes. No excuses. Hey, before you finish listening to this episode, you need to do a couple things. The first thing you need to do is join the free Facebook group. It's free. Why wouldn't you join it? It's full of resources. You got the ability to build your network. I'm always hopping in there with my beautiful mug, saying hello, telling you what's going on, and giving you some extra things to think about. The second thing you need to do is you need to think about joining the Jumpstart Accelerator group. How can you accelerate your path? How can you jumpstart your financial services career, moving you in the right direction, removing the friction, the frustration, the BS that the industry shows you and tries to make you into a salesperson? If you want the real from a 20-year veteran, and I'm giving you mentorship and I'm giving you access to trainings, and I'm also giving you an invitation to join us in the professional development program. It is well worth your time and money investment. Would love to see you there, the Jumpstart Accelerator group. All right, that's enough. Let's get back to the episode. So let's talk about why trading. I want to get into trade and travel because people are going to look you up after this podcast and they're going to go, oh my gosh, personal story. I love her because of all that. And now she's got a business that like looks like this is can be something that I can use. So you've kind of told us a little bit about the beginning. So you have a background that I don't want to overlook because you graduated from MIT, which is not a slouch school. And these are, I guess, concepts that you learned while you were there. Talk about that a little bit, because you said you were doing a little on the side while you were still working in education.
Yes. So my senior year of high school, I did a program called LEAD, and it's a program where they get minority students that did really well on their PSATs and they introduce them to business. So we went to, for my group, we went to Northwestern Business School in Chicago, and they took us to the Chicago Stock Exchange. So that was my first eye-opening experience into stocks. And in my senior year, when I went back to school, Google had its IPO. And I remember asking all my teachers, how do I get in? How do I do this? And none of them knew how to do it. And then I went to my grandmother and she was like, well, baby, first we ain't got no money. And then we don't know how to do it. So just it just stopped there. And I just think back, like, it was $83 a share. How different would my life have been? And now it's like $1,900 a share. Like, how different would my life have been had we known how to do that when I was younger? So then fast forward, I went to MIT for undergrad and studied management. And there I did study optimization and economics and all the things that actually are part of what I teach now. I didn't realize it would be such an important factor, but I took a course called probability twice. And probability was all about, like, you can actually calculate with formulas the probability of almost any occurrence in the world. I could calculate what's the probability that a girl with a purple shirt is going to get on the train in New York and go to this station at this time. We could calculate all that. And so I think my mind does work a little differently because my outlook on is something calculatable is very much like, yes, it is. So even now, when I think about charting and the probability of an investment going right or wrong, or making money on a stock purchase, I very much feel like everything is calculatable. And so that's what we do in the course in trade and travel. We're figuring out, well, what's the probability of this trade going well? What's the reward to risk ratio? How do we make sure that we're getting in at the right time and getting out at the right time? But even with all that said, I interned at Morgan Stanley on Wall Street in college. And so that, again, was another introduction to stocks. So even though I went down this different route of consulting and education, in 2010, when the market fell, I started investing for myself on the side because I still knew that there was opportunity there.
Got it. Okay. And let's talk about, I want to touch this subject because all my peers will say, you didn't ask her this, but even though it's my show and I've been doing this for 20 years, I can do whatever I want. I want to address the topic of this passive versus active real quickly, even before getting into that. Like, because most critics are going to say, you know, active trading can't be sustained for long periods of time. What I really want to know, because I don't really care about that argument, like if you're doing it, you're doing it, is what gave you the confidence that you were like, I can repeat this process over and over for myself and I can teach it to somebody? That's what I'm interested in.
Well, the biggest thing is, I think that people, when they're thinking about active investing as a whole, they're not thinking about the goal of it. So if you're an active investor, your goal is that you're trading for income. And for me, all I needed was $300 a day to replace my income as an assistant principal. So it wasn't that I'm trying to make millions of dollars or drive a Lamborghini or fly on private jets. It was like, no, I just need $300 a day. And honestly, I could do it with $200 a day and live comfortably in Texas, right? That would pay my bills, pay for me to travel. I could live a good life with freedom. And actually, I should say that actually is my real why. If I could never have a boss again, I would be happy for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I hear you.
I will sit under a bridge and eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches before I have another boss. Like, that's really my why.
Yeah.
But, so when you think about it like that, like small bite-sized pieces, and for me, I tell people the goal too is that you're only trying to make 1% of your cash amount. So I pulled all of my 401k and 403b retirement accounts from old jobs and put them into a self-directed fund, and I had about $30,000. So my 300 was really just trying to make 1%. Of that cash amount. And it's an average because sometimes you make more, sometimes you lose. So some people get all that, like they get into the weeds. Well, Terry, you don't make money every day. No, it's an average. Sometimes you do have some losses. That's accounted for. That's why we do a real small percent. Your goal is 1% of your cash amount. But I could do that. Like I saw for myself that I was hitting that $300 a day.
Yeah.
And I started hitting $1,000 a day with still that small $30,000 account. Just as I became a better trader, my returns became higher. Mm-hmm. And so then it was kind of like, whoa, you know, I just hit, there was one day actually I was at work and the principal walked into the door and I had just made $3,000 on a trade. And in my head, I was like, look, that's the same amount as my full month salary here. So if you tell me something crazy, today is the day. Like, I wish you would. Like, so like when I started seeing that kind of results, then I had confidence in myself to say, you know what? I think that this is possible. And in the beginning, I wasn't trying to teach other people. It was when I started seeing consistent gains and I started seeing like I'm able to pay for my hotel room. My hotel room is $100 a night. I just made $300. I can pay for three nights in my hotel. When I started seeing that, that's when I said, okay, this is something that I need to share with other people, even if they don't do it on a big scale. Just the fact that like they could trade stocks and pay for an assistant, that's $80 a day. You know, like you don't have to have these big numbers to really use stocks to help you.
No, I love your perspective there, because I think when people in my, let's call it the regulated field of finance, look at this, they go, well, that's not scalable. No, it's not, because I got to pay for trades. I got to do it for 50 clients. I got to, you know, that's not what it's for. And then when you try to do it across like a hedge fund type structure, it gets into all these other different things. But I love how you've broken it down for, you know, in a very, very bite-sized piece for somebody to say, what's your goal? Just make a goal and let's inch up to that goal. And I think, you know, some of the thing, and this is the next thing I want to ask you is, like, I had a student the other day ask me about their journey and things. And I was like, look, don't look at me 20 years in the game and say, that's my goal. Like I still do stuff afraid, like every day. That's part of it. And I want you to talk about that a little bit, because I know it had to be this evolution of, okay, I'm getting the confidence here. Okay, I'm going to actually put this out here. Oh, I got to package it in a way that, you know, people want to buy it. Like, I'm pretty sure all those things you did afraid. What were some of the, I guess, maybe some of the, maybe the goalpost, if you will, while you were going through that process?
I think one of the biggest things that I did afraid was telling people my losses. As a teacher, you always want to, or this is how I felt anyway, you always want to be the one that's doing it right. So for me to tell people, like, actually I had this huge loss, was really, really hard. But it's actually one of the best things about my program. People learn risk management. So one of the biggest losses I had when I first started trading was in Thailand. And I actually lost $26,000 in a day, like overnight. And I had traded this company thinking that it was going to have a great earnings report. And then after earnings, it just dropped like fire. And I panicked. I called my mom crying. I wanted to quit. Like, everything was wrong. But now I can look back at that and say, okay, these were the mistakes that I made. These are the things that I'm going to do differently. And that's actually a whole course now in my trade and travel program, like risk management. We talk about the six big mistakes and then the solutions that I put in place to actually make them better. But that was so hard for me because, again, I don't want to seem like the one that did it wrong. And so that's been something I've had to conquer. Like, hey, it's better to show your authentic self and show your mistakes than to try to act like you got it all together, because we're learning together. I've been doing this now 11 years, but I still make mistakes.
Yeah.
There was a trade recently. So I was trading Tilray and it jumped up to like $65. You saw that? So I was up 700%, but I didn't sell. And so then it came back down. Now I'm up still about 200%. But at the same time, like, I'm the teacher. I wanted to be able to say I sold at 700%. Yeah. No, you know, I got greedy too and held it too long. So we all still have mistakes. But it's okay. I think that's one thing I've really learned. Like, it's okay to do it afraid, and it's okay to share when you fail, because people will understand.
No, I think, I think that's the reason why you're doing so well. I think that's the reason why people buy your course. And I want to give some room for you to talk about that a little bit more. I think I was reading something the other day, and it says that, because I look at this as a service, like you being transparent, you being authentic to those that may or may not buy your course, but look at you as a leader. If service is beyond, if you're, let's see, if service is below you, then leadership is beyond you. There's no way that people are going to follow somebody that is not authentic. We see, like, for a minute they might happen, but long term, you can't sustain that. And so I love that you've got that level of transparency. So let's give some room to this, because I said this in the beginning, but I just want people to comprehend this real quick. Over 1,000 people consistently making $1,000 a day is $1 million a day. And that's just a staggering number when you think about all these different things that are going on in the world and how far $1,000 or millions of dollars go like that. Talk about trade and travel. If I had a 30 second, 60 second promo to give you right now, talk about it.
Well, we are a school that's teaching people how to invest for what's important to them. So if that's paying off your debt, if that's taking care of your mom or a loved one, putting your kid in private school, or just taking a trip, then we want to teach you how to use stocks to get there. How do you pay for those small things with stocks so that you can free up your time? So that's what we do at Trade and Travel. And you're right. So we just hit a huge milestone. We had 1,000 students. And I have to clarify, it's not $1,000 a day. It's $1,000 in a day. Because like I said, there might be some days where they've hit 1,000, then they might have a loss. So we don't want to tell them, we don't want to say, well, you don't make it because you had that one loss. So if they've made it to the $1,000 in a day club, then that means that they have the skill set, they've mastered my strategy, and they can consistently make it. But it doesn't have to be every single day. So I do have to make that clarification. But yes, like the cool thing about it is like I've taught now in my school over 5,000 students. So, and 20% of them are in the 1,000 in a day club. So this is like the A honor roll of the school. And the others are not, it's not that they're not doing well. They might be in the $100 in a day club, the $200 in a day club. They just haven't yet hit the $1,000 in a day club.
And that's, but to like your point though, it's about their goal, right? It's about their particular goal. Yeah.
Very true. And it's also about just skill. Like the way that you hit the $1,000, because we make sure that they don't have like a huge account. This is not a $1 million account. It has to be $100,000 or less, so that the thousand is 1%. And usually they do it around 30,000. Oftentimes people ask me that, like, how much does it take? But usually they have about 30,000 in their account, and they can do it in real or sim, because we don't want to limit people from the competition, because they don't have the money themselves. So we let them also do it in sim. But the thing is, the way that you reach $1,000 in a day is you have to have picked the right company. Like you could pick the wrong company all day and you're not hitting $1,000. So you have to know how to pick right companies. Then you have to have gotten into the company at the right time, or got into the trade at the right time. So like that's important to hit the thousand. Then you have to have the ability to manage the trade. Are you moving your stop right? Are you getting out of the trade at the right time? Because it has to be a realized profit, because we want you to actually take that thousand and then use it for something else, right? So like all of these skill sets are things that I've taught them in the class. And as they become better and better, this is how they're reaching that $1,000 in a day. So that's kind of how we're doing it. And then for our advanced students, they're learning, not only did we teach them charting, because that's how they know when to get in and out at the right time, but they're learning how to short sell. So now they can actually replicate the thousand, whether the market's going up or down, because they now know how to make money on the way down. We do gaps and Globex, and then we go to options. So once you've got all that down, now those option students are doing $10,000 in a day club. So that's the course. Like that's what we're teaching, so that they can really learn this skill set.
No, that's excellent. I love that. I love the way that you've kind of segmented this, because a lot of people, I think they get pretty much, I hate to use this term because it's so overused, but I think a lot of people get FOMO. And they just run into stuff and they don't get educated about it. They don't learn about it. And the education piece of it is what actually makes it sustainable. Yeah. And so I'm so happy that you're doing that. Well, as we're bringing this thing for landing, I want to do two things. I want to do a really quick lightning round. And then I want to grab some words of wisdom for my audience from you. So lightning round, you already told us about worst trade. What about best trade?
Ooh, best trade. So in 2020, one of my goals was to make 6 figures in a day. And I did that a couple different times. I did it on American Airlines. I did it on Boeing. So both of those times have been amazing. I actually think this Tilray one recently was pretty awesome. Like it went up $300,000 overnight. So it was just like, oh my gosh. But it was amazing that I actually got into it. Like I did it, I got into it a couple months ago. So for me, it felt really good, because it was like, you know what? I knew this, I didn't follow the trend. Like this is something that I saw coming a while back. So I enjoy, there's been several trades that have been awesome, but I really enjoy just, it's one of those, like you feel like you're right. I really enjoy when I get it right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Talk about, in a word, trade and travel total students in 5 years. Where's this thing going?
I see a lot more people learning how to trade for income and it not being so taboo. Right now, when I talk about active investing, there's this headwind of people that say that it's not possible. So I definitely see that more minorities are involved in trading in 5 years. More people are successfully trading for income. It's not taboo. It's something that people understand well. And if you're not trading or investing, then you're actually the one looked at crazy, because your money's not growing in that savings account. I see like now I have 5,000 students, but I see 20,000 students. I see maybe the program in colleges and just some other places where students are learning this even before they have to go to college and graduate. So that's where I see. And then for myself, this whole travel movement, I love luxury homes around the world. So I don't see myself stopping travel from anytime soon.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well, this is a podcast, as you know, to empower tomorrow's financial professional, Terry, with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And in that context, in that vein, what word or words of wisdom would you leave with them?
You know, my mom told me lately that money doesn't buy happiness, but money buys dignity. And it was a thing of, I had given her some money so that she could go to the doctor. So all my parents, I've given them money so that if they ever need to go to the doctor, they know they can afford it. And so my mom went to the dentist and she had some teeth that needed to get done, but it was like $2,000 per tooth. And in the past, she would have had to say, well, I can't get it done, or maybe let's just do one, but not all of them. But this time, because she had the money in her account, she could, like, you know, with her chest up and her head held high, say, yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead and take care of this right now. So it was one of those things where that's what I want for more people. I want them to be able to have the dignity that when they need something, like even now I think about people in Dallas and not having electricity or the cold, making them too cold. Like, I want them to have the dignity to be able to have the money to get what they need when they need it. And I think that can come from things like investing. And it does take time. You have to become a better trader. But I just want your professionals to realize that this is something that will help their clients to also achieve what their goals are.
No, I love that. And there's something that resonated with me that when you said that, because there's a big movement of new financial professionals coming in that don't want to handle the investments. Like, that's a real thing. They're wanting to outsource it. They're like, I don't want to know about it. Like, it's this mysterious thing. And I'm glad you said that, because my roots are in investments. I work for a hedge fund and things like that. But the point is I think a lot of people are scared of this. And it goes back to something you said earlier, where you want this to not be as taboo. And that even comes across, I think, in the financial professional, in the industry itself. So that's wonderful. Well, I am going to let you go back to that great weather that you're having over there in South Beach. And really appreciate you for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Dominique. I really appreciated it too. This was really fun.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.